But it's just in my spirit that I'm just excited because of the family of God here at this church. Because everybody knows Sundays at 9:30, we have our service, right? We come together and worship one another. And I like it. A lot of you come early, real early, and you're having fellowship. And that's what it's all about. Come and fellowship with one another. To maybe pray for, But I believe in that, God wants his people to come together for a reason. Because we need each other. But you see what I'm saying? That God wants his people, his family here at this church to be recognized throughout this community. And he knows who you are. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. But he wants us to have a community of believers here at this church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're writing a title down today, This New Birth. Now, I'm talking to the people who are born again. Because the ones that are not born again are not going to understand what I'm saying. What do you mean by that? Because if you're born again, you're understanding the Spirit of God that's moving inside and speaking to you. If you're not born again, how are you going? You don't have the Spirit of God, right? This new birth that we have, it's new for us to do what God wants us to do. Because we follow after God, right? Not after man. So what happens? We come into God's house and we worship him. We hear the word. Because how does faith come? By hearing the word. And we're fortunate enough to put the messages on, on our website so that the people that maybe can't make it to church can hear that message, because keep up with what's going on. I can remember years ago, when the Clinton Watchman came out, everybody was swarmed to get you that first copy so you could see what's happening in the city, in the town. They would want to see. They had all engagements. They had who's getting married, who got picked up last night, who got stabbed, who did this, who did that. They grabbed that paper, the Clinton Watchman. And then you say, who won the football game last night? Well, you should have been there. No. But you see, it's a new birth that we have, an excitement that we should have. Have you ever met any Christians? Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, have you ever met any Christians that walk around with just kind of sagging and just kind of moping around? We should not be walking around like that. If you're a new creation, you have a new birth. You're on fire for God. So what's that mean? That means get into what God wants you to do. Have you ever, heard people that want to know what's going on all the time? This is the best place to find out what's really going on, especially in the spiritual realm, because we all know this is the end time. We are walking through that end time right now. And it's a lot of our family members are going to hell. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm just going to let you know. It's a lot of church-going people that are going to go to hell. Why? Because they're not born again. They're not receiving what Jesus has for them. And, I'm going to say this, and I'm not calling you this. I'm just going to kind of lay it out there for you. I want you to think about this. If you take an old flopped-eared mule and try to make a racehorse out of it, try to take a mule, old floppy-eared mule, plowing mule, and try to make a racehorse out of it. Have you ever seen that? Man, you can take that old mule and take them old hooves and file them down and paint them up real good, and you can feed it the finest food. You can do whatever you can run it around the track. You know, see what I'm saying? And you can put him in the finest stable. And one day of the race, that gun goes off, and what happens? That mule just lopes around the track, old ears flopping. He's not made to be a racehorse, right? It's just not in that donkey or that mule to run around that track, to be a star at the racetrack. And, you know, because why? It's not in his nature to be a racehorse. Right? But also, you can take a racehorse and don't do nothing with him. You know, just put him, eat the regular old horse feed, and just kind of maybe every now and then work him a little bit out there in the yard. But I tell you, when the gun goes off, he's going to run. Why? Because it's in that racehorse to run when he hears that gun go off. Because it's in him. He was born and bred for racing. The mule was made for plowing and things like that, and heavy work around the farm. So the mule doesn't have that in him to race. Hallelujah. In order for that old mule to become a racehorse, now think about this, he had to be reborn as a racehorse, and that is impossible. Well, we can. Now think about it in the physical realm. We have been reborn into what God wants us to be, if you're born again. So we have to understand that the mule will never be a racehorse unless he was born again, reborn, right? The racehorse has already got it in him. And we know that the mule can never be born again, reborn. So you see what I'm saying that takes place when this new life that we're in, this new birth that we're in. We're not that old floppy-eared mule. Why? Because the light of Jesus is on you. I mean, you should have him so bright in here, I'd have to cut all the lights out just to see you. Because we have to understand that we have been born again. Our spirits are born again, born of the Spirit of God. And that's an awesome place to be, in the spiritual realm. But you know, think about it, as man, you know, who is a spirit being in a body, right, can be born again. And that should be where we should go to, because Jesus spoke and said the only way to get to heaven is to be what? Born again. And that's enough encouragement for me just to say, okay, I go for that. But you know, think about other things that take place. You know, that when we're born again, our nature can be changed. Probably you can just sit and think about the way it was before you were born again. The way you acted. The way you spoke. The way you did things. The way you talked to other people. Maybe whatever, this, that, and the other. And you know, now you can see the difference. You're not that same person that you were. Because why? You have been reborn. Born again. So the nature has been changed on the inside of us. And you know, we become a new creation, a new creature in Jesus. So you see, well, yeah, no, I still mess up. We're human. We're going to mess up because of things that may happen. A lot of times we go back and we think about it. You know, you could say, well, when I get mad, I'd run my mouth. Oh, I would cuss. Oh, I would do this. I'd use God's name in vain. I would do that. And every now and then, it may slip back up. You think about it. Because I can remember a friend of mine, he was building a fence out of wood. He hit his thumb with that nail, with that hammer. That was before he was born again, and it was foul language. I learned a lot that day. Because my family, I never heard my mom and dad say any kind of cuss word. Never, ever. Even when he hit his hand with a hammer. I mean, we said, we're going to build a chicken coop. And we got up on top to put the tin, and it fell through. Never heard. He laughed. You know, now I learned from that. I said, you know, as bad as the situations were, he was laughing about it. I mean, we only fell about 10 feet, but we just all went right into the middle. But you see what I'm saying? That, you know, you get around people that start saying all those words, and you'll start picking them up. That you hang around somebody, you'll start sounding like them. We don't, it doesn't matter how well educated a man becomes, or a person becomes, and how many dollars he has, religious he is. You've probably been around some people, boy, they could shout all the scriptures and the ones that they can remember and all this kind of stuff, but they living like the devil. You know, I've seen a lot of them people. It doesn't matter how religion he is, but mere man cannot stand in the presence of God because his nature is wrong. If man is lost today, not because of what he does, but because of what he is. And what he does is a result of what he is. Did you get that? All right, let me say it one more time. Man is lost today not because of what he does, but because of what he is. What he does is a result of what he is. Whoo! And man needs life from God. And because he is a spiritual, because we are spiritually dead without God. We're spiritually dead. We kind of talked about a little bit about that. But, you know, thanks be to God now. Christ has redeemed us from what? Spiritual death, as we kind of talked about. I know a lot of Christians that are spiritually dead. You know, they think they got it going on, but they're spiritually dead. You know, they don't read the word. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't do anything. And we have to understand it. Man is lost today, not because of what he does, but because of what he is. You know, we need to think about those things that we are spiritually dead because why? You know, that because we need to be redeemed. Christ redeemed us, but we need to grab a hold from that spiritual death that we cause ourselves. You know, the devil didn't cause that. We did it by following after the devil. Just look around. You could probably know who's following after the word of God. John 5, let's go to John 5:26. John 5:26, and it tells us, the Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. The new man, Jesus Christ, had no death in him. Only reason why we do is because of Adam and Eve, right? Because of what Adam did. And he was not born as, I guess you would say, as we were born. He did this natural way, but he wasn't born as we were. He didn't have that spiritual nature of death in the devil in him. He didn't have the spiritual death in him because he didn't follow the devil. How you know that? Well, remember I told you about when the devil, after he was fasting and the devil was trying to get him to jump off a cliff, trying to make a rock into some food, and he tried to do all these things. He never did what the devil said to do. There was no death in Jesus, no spiritual death, no death at all. And you know how he died on the cross. But golly, he came back. You know, in other words, he bounced back in the fourth quarter and came back for us. He did that for us. Matter of fact, when he was on that cross, I know he saw each and every one of us and the ones that are coming. You know, even the ones that are not here, he saw them on the cross. Because like I said, Jesus loved us so much that he died for our sins. He died for our sickness. He died for us. And you know, we should give him all the praise and glory and honor for what he did. Jesus did it one way. He did it for us, and that's it. It's over. And it's up to us to grab a hold to Jesus. Grab a hold to his word. Grab a hold to come out of that spiritual death. Can we come out of spiritual death? Yes, we can. By changing the way we look at the word. Getting Jesus in our word. Be fat with the word. How you do that? Faithful, available, and teachable. You ain't going to learn how to be teachable somewhere else. Some ball game. You come to hear the word of God. You know, the new man, Jesus Christ, he had no death in him. I want you to look at Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9. And it tells us what we do see in Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Even the one who cussed him out. One said he did it for everyone. It says everyone means everyone. Because English wasn't my favorite subject, but I know what that means. For everyone means everyone. Everyone in this room. Everyone not in this room. Everyone out here on the highway. Everyone over at the campground. Everyone over here at the restaurant. Everyone over. He did it for everyone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, he tasted death for every man. He took upon himself our sin nature. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it for somebody else. We couldn't do it for ourselves. But he took it upon himself, our sins. And you know, not to be obedient to God, not to be reverenced to him for what he did. The King of Kings, wow, did that for us. Praise the Lord. But you know, he did it for everyone. And you know, he took that sin nature upon himself and ripped it from us. And all we've got to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. But he took it upon himself. Our sin nature. And you know, and the nature of spiritual death, that we might have what? Eternal life. I don't know about you, but I want me to spend eternity in heaven together. That is what I want. But you know, I can say that, but I can't make it. Why? Because it's your will, and I can't go against your will when I want my will to be done on you. You see what I'm saying? I want you to spend eternity in heaven. So now you have to do what it takes. Just like somebody say, I want you to be a right-hand pitcher for the New York Yankees. Guess what? You better get in training. Because I can say it all I want. I can sit here and I can say, Lord, I want this person to be a pitcher for the New York Yankees. He's going to be on the starting team. Then he won't even need another pitcher. But you think that's going to happen? No, it ain't going to happen. But I can tell you one thing, if that person receives that prayer and starts working out and starts doing his very best, God-given best, he could probably be a pitcher for the New York Yankees. But I can't go against that will that that person has for my will. I can't throw my will upon him or you. I can't do it. But I want you to be in heaven. But it's up to you to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Turn to John 10:10. John 10:10. Y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad because I'm getting something out of it. Thank you, Lord. John 10:10 says, the thief, who's that? Him be the devil, right? The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy and have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying here? The thief doesn't come except to kill, steal, and destroy. So we have to understand that that's all the devil wants to do. And how many times we listen to the devil and we go do what the devil says. And, you know, we may do something, say we plan something on a Sunday morning. Well, I don't feel like going today. I'd rather go do this. Oh, man, they got this Ladies World Series. I got to get ready for that. I got to go to the store. I got to pick up all the fruits, vegetables, and chips and dips and all that kind of stuff. So I really ain't got time for that for church today. I got to really go do that. But it says right there for us, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We listen to the devil so many times that we say, okay, devil, I'm going this time, but next time, no. No, it don't work that way, because he's there to steal and to kill and to destroy and to come that you may have life. Jesus came so that you may have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Go to John 5:24. He says, I tell you the truth. Wow, I like that. Tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me and have eternal life, they will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. We talked about it, spiritual death. Hallelujah. Now we're coming back spiritual alive. Why? Because of what Jesus is telling us. Jesus has redeemed us from spiritual death. Adam was banished from the tree of life through rejecting the word of God. He said, well, you know, he rejected the word of God. God told him not to. He rejected the word of God way back then. And that's the reason why. There's a difference in what he did and what Jesus did. Jesus come to save us. Because Jesus, according to his word, he come to bring us home. Make a long story short. He come so that we could be the righteousness of Christ. He did that so that we can have full access to God. If you're born again, you can have those things. Because why? Your old nature has gone. You become new. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn to Revelations 2:7. Revelations 2:7. Hallelujah. I love this part. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me do that again. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, you're here and you're hearing that today. And he says also, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Did you catch that? Who was banished? Adam and Eve, right? They were banished because they didn't obey God's word of not touching that tree. But it says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And, you know, it talks about here, you know, all who now accept and obey the word of God are brought back to the tree of life. See, you thought you were banished because of Adam and Eve. But what did Jesus do? And he tells us right there, we overcome adversity. We overcome what the devil tries to do to us. We overcome because God knows that we're faithful to his word. We're faithful to attendance of being teachable in the spiritual realm. But he has done that for us, that we would go back. We will go back to the tree of life that Adam and Eve messed up for us. He messed up our inheritance, didn't he? He messed it up big time. We lost a lot because of Adam, what he did at that tree. And, you know, but what does God's word says? He will bring that back. If we overcome, and I will give to eat from the tree of life. That's the born-again believers. That's us he's talking about. That what happened? Adam and Eve are out of the picture because we have Jesus. That's who, because Adam and Eve, we know about that. They are already following the father of lies. They're already following what the devil says. They're his, the devil's children. But we belong to Jesus. We belong to what he says in his word, that he's come to give us those things. But we got to accept it. It just don't fall out like people talk about. Look, they want to get a money tree where money comes out of the tree. Well, I can tell you this, it ain't going to come out of that tree. But I can tell you what, the grace and the glory of God can come out of him, of the tree of life for his people. And we are his people. We get born again. And that's what we need to understand, that it just don't fall on us. We've got something we've got to do. Because I tell you, I was looking out in my front yard the other day. And I said, man, I wish those flowers would come up over here. But I thought about it. I said, you know, I didn't plant nothing there. I didn't put no seeds or nothing. What's that mean? That ain't nothing going to come up because I didn't put effort into what I need. I'd plant a seed. And, you know, and I took some of the seeds and I had it out here, and I said, look how these are coming up. You may notice out there. But, you know, the seed, I didn't plant a seed. Just like each and every one of us, we've got to plant a seed. We've got to do what the Word of God is telling us. Plant a seed so that you can see it grow. But that this new birth does not take place gradually. A lot of people think, well, I've been working on, God's still working on me. You ever heard anybody say that? God's still working on me, but this new birth does not take place gradually. It is instantaneous. What does that mean? Now, when you get born again, it's instantaneous. It don't, well, God's still working on me. I still got some defects. No, it works instantaneously. It is a gift of God received the moment you believe. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Why? Because it happens instantaneously when you what? Believe it. A lot of people, you go to pray with somebody. Do you believe God can heal you? Oh, yeah. No, do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to get healed. I've seen people that done that. I've seen people say, yes, I believe it. And I've seen that they're coming out. They're coming out of that sickness. They're coming out of whatever it is that was going on in their bodies. And I believe, and you know, you come and you believe it, it'll happen. But you have to believe it. And I can tell you, it takes place, does not take place gradually. It don't take you. Now, sure, studying God's word can go last a longer time. But when you get born again, it's instantaneously. God has done it. What he's going to do, if you only believe. Believe. That is a big word, to believe God's word. And you don't say, well, I think I'm saved. No, you ought to say, praise the Lord, I'm born again. I've got it. And you're not going to take it from me, devil. No way you're going to do that. Because you got Jesus, you got all the angels, they're going to be fighting for me because I'm their child. And I am, like it says, I am going to be going back to that tree of life because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I didn't have to do anything except accept him as my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all got something out of this? Yeah.